Hello and welcome along to the New Music Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Adam Tinian. Thanks for joining us on episode number 7. And we're bringing you today, I always get his name wrong, I'm so sorry. So I've been calling you Squanji Bobbins the whole time, but it's pronounced differently, right?
It's Squanji Bobbins.
Squanji Bobbins.
If we get it wrong, we get it wrong. That's the nature of the name, really. So it doesn't really matter.
So to any new listeners out there, this podcast is recorded in line with Seaside Sessions, where we're putting out almost daily videos, which are recorded right here in the studio, where you've performed as well before. You've laid down a couple of tracks for us in session a little while ago. Usually we go straight into the first track, but we've got to talk about the name.
Okay,
because it is the most,
fine.
I think I would go so far as to say the most unique name I've ever had in session. So
that's great.
Explain, please.
Well, I was trying to think of names for ages. I didn't really want to use my actual name. I was thinking, could I change? My name is Lewis Colley, and I was thinking, could I change my surname?
Right.
Could I? My middle name is Bradley. Could I use that? I was thinking, no, I can't. I just can't do it. I don't know what to choose. And I was thinking, oh, that's a cool name. Google it. Oh, it's already taken.
Right.
Oh, that's a cool name. Oh, it's already taken. That's already taken. It was really frustrating. And I was like,
so you're trying to keep the most obscure thing possible.
Well, my dad, he still says it now, but growing up, he used to say Squanji Bobbins Wilberforce.
Okay.
So I was like, I'll drop the Wilberforce.
Right.
Maybe I can use Squanji Bobbins. And in my house, growing up, Squanji was used as a kind of a verb, really, to describe. If a table was a bit wonky, be like, oh, that table looks a bit squanji.
Right,
or if you had a bit of a dodgy stomach, oh, I've got a bit of a squanji belly today.
I love it.
So I was like, you know what? Yeah, I'll use it.
That's
where
it came
Squanji Bobbins can do.
I like it.
It's fine.
It's a good name, to be fair. I like it. And it's always been your performing name as well, right? So solo stuff, and now obviously you're in a band, and we're going to talk about songs from your EP.
Yeah, it's kind of a band, kind of solo stuff. It's kind of why I picked the name, because I wasn't sure where it was going to go.
Yeah.
You know, the first album I released was kind of it was described as a basement tape folk thing.
Okay.
And very recorded at home, and it's very rough and ready, and kind of just anything goes. It's got 26 songs on, and it's just, you know.
That's a big album, jeez.
Full of mess. but there's some decent tunes on there.
I like it, man. Very cool.
So then, but I didn't know where it was going to go, so I wanted something which could be used as a solo name or could be used as the band name as well.
Yeah.
So it's,
there we go.
It's whatever.
Seems perfect. Seems perfect. All right, so let's get into the first track then. So this is the opening track of the album, I believe,
yes,
as well.
It is, yeah.
A Girl That You First Met, which you did perform with us. Tell us about it. It struck me as a bit of a lads night out, like a real slapped you in the face an album with a heavy bit of rock.
It developed quite a lot in the studio. It developed even then. It was still kind of developing. I don't really know where it even came from. I was mucking around with some chords, really simple chords. It's got four chords in the entire song.
Right.
Which make up the basis of the song. And I don't really know. I think I was listening to a lot of Arctic Monkeys and stuff at the time. Massive Oasis fan, so listening to a lot of that. So that's kind of where the lyrical themes come from, I suppose, really. It just fitted with the riff that I was playing. I think I had the chorus first.
Yeah.
And then put the verses in afterwards. Steve came over and helped out a little bit with it. It was, you know, I was really happy with it when I first wrote it.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good start to the album, I think.
Yeah, and then in the studio it became probably slightly heavier than it was originally.
Okay.
And then recorded in the same place that Sound 90s recorded their last couple of songs as well.
Okay.
And Robert Wilkes, the producer there, is great. He's fantastic. And he's always kind of going, he never wants a verse to be the same. It's like something else has got to happen. So another bit of a slight change in the guitar. And he was like, I don't know how to change it up a bit, what to do, how to make the chorus, you know, even more fierce. So he doubled up the guitars in the chorus. And then he was like, let's listen to some songs. So we found a song. It was like, oh, that's classic. All they do is drop out the lead guitar in the verses. They just leave the bass and the drums. It's like, let's do that.
Nice.
So that's what we did.
Okay.
And then the chorus sounded much, you know, massive in it. So
yeah, cool,
that's
man.
Kind of what it is, really.
Excellent, excellent. It's a good song, and I think we did a review recently on Seaside Sessions of the album.
Great. Thank you.
And I think it's a great way to start an album, and also it's a great way to start a live show, I think, as well, because it kind of gets everyone really in the mood for it.
Well, I loved the fact that we, the kind of intro, the first couple of bars are on acoustic, and it was kind of to trick people, thinking it's going to be a nice little ditty, and then all of a sudden everything crashes in.
Absolutely,
so I kind of wanted to shock people awake.
Brilliant.
Kind of almost like a punch in the face.
Yeah,
to wake people up.
And tell me about the video, because it's manic. It's
mental.
It's a big old house party.
It was just basically, let's find a date when people can do as many people as possible. I've got a mate who's at uni, Connor. So he let us use his house.
Right.
And it was, let's invite people. Do you want to come along to a house party? By the way, we're also filming a music video. Absolutely.
What about the instruments, though? Was it like, bring along any instruments you don't want anymore? Cause we're
Yeah. I had an old guitar that I didn't want anymore. And my mate had a drum kit, which originally he wanted us to keep. He was going to give away. And then we ended up just smashing it to pieces.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of, everyone kind of acted up slightly more. So everyone that was kind of a bit, I don't know, a bit almost shy, I suppose, probably the wrong word, but because they knew it was a music video, they kind of stepped it up a gear. And people that are even more kind of out of their shell stepped it up even further.
Yeah.
and the more outlandish people went a step beyond that. Right. So, and it was just a fantastic evening.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It fits with the music very
well.
It was
really good fun. Absolutely really good film. All filmed in the one night. Brilliant, obviously. Right. And yeah,
fantastic.
Loved it.
I love it. All right, well, let's give it a listen then, the girl that we just met.
Let's get a bus into the town, see all of our mates. Let's get a bus into the town. That's Jager Bombs 2, 4, or 5 at a Kickstarter's tonight. It doesn't matter what you do when you find yourself in an old back room with a girl that you just met. Oh, don't do something you might regret. It doesn't matter what you do when you find yourself in an old back room with a girl that you just met. Oh, don't do something you might regret. We'll bump the train into the city to find them girls that are all so pretty. Make sure it's not like last time when you were passed out by 9:30. And we'll bump the train to the city to find them girls that are all so pretty. Just make sure it's not like last time you were passed out 9:30. It doesn't matter what you do when you find yourself in an old back room with a girl that you just met. Oh, don't do something you might regret. It doesn't matter what you do when you find yourself in an old back room.
Right then, so we're back in, brand new day. This is actually my my favourite one, I think, off this album. We did the review on Seaside Sessions and really love this one. So tell us about this.
It's the only song that I didn't write.
Oh, really?
On the album. Kieran wrote it, who plays some bass and some guitar on the album. And I was in a band with him and Steve called The Final Third a few years ago. And Kieran played bass. And it was probably our last rehearsal. This was about 4 years ago, probably. And Kieran came along and went, oh, I've written this song, would you reckon this? And we jammed it out. And I've still got the original recording on my iPad of the jam. That
really?
We did, and it's horrendous. But they're all singing out of key and stuff. And, you know, it's really kind of mental.
Yeah.
And then I've always said to Kieran, like, remember that song we did? I absolutely love that. Am I allowed to have it? And he was like, yes. So nice. after all this time, I kept on at him still.
Okay.
Can you come over and we'll go through it? And that's exactly what happened, really. We changed it a little bit, It originally had a capo on, so we took the capo off, and then we also put it into E flat, so it was even lower, so it made it even rockier.
Okay.
I changed a little bit of the phrasing so that it fitted with my voice, but then I still wanted Kieran's voice on it, so he sings some of the song as well. I think he sings the pre-chorus, if I remember correctly. But trying to record that in the studio was a nightmare.
Was it?
Yeah. Why? It was really, really difficult. Because of the change from going from my voice in the verse to Kieran's voice in the pre-chorus,
right, okay,
back to my voice in the chorus, it just sounded odd. There was too much of a jump,
right,
and it took ages. We were trying all sorts of harmonies out. Steve jumped on, tried a harmony here and there. It was just for hours, literally, like two or three, well, probably like 3 or 4 hours maybe.
Yeah.
Just trying to sort out the transitions between. We had the song pretty much done. And so we did it for a couple of hours and it was like, let's forget that. Let's go back to it later. It was like, right, we still got this one to do. It was like, oh no, I forgot. but yeah, after ages, we found the right formula. And I was so glad that it worked. And
yeah,
I think
brilliant.
It's become a massive... massive song. I'm really
pleased with it. I think it's lovely. It's really nice. It's sort of like midway through the album, I think, and it just sort of again, like I say, kind of relating the album to like a live show. It seems quite nice where you sort of start really punching the face really heavy, and then you kind of dip down a little bit, and then you kind of bring everybody in with a bit more acoustic-y style. And
yeah,
really nice.
Yeah, and I was, you know, I'm really. It's one of my favourites on there.
Fantastic.
As well. And I can feel like I can be a bit more subjective with it because I didn't write it, so I feel like I can love it more.
Yeah, that's
going,
true.
Yeah, I love this song. Who wrote it? It's mine. Yeah. Feels a bit, you know, feels a bit cocky.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Whereas
yeah.
with that one, I can be like, yeah, I'm on it, but someone else wrote it.
Yeah, I've got
can,
you.
I can really feel it.
Fantastic. Yeah. All right, well, let's give it our listen then, shall we? This is Brand New Day. So I think we need to get into Lewis a little bit, the man behind Squanji okay. Bobbins. So, yeah, tell me about you, mate. So how did you get into music in the first place? Is this something you've always done? And it's quite interesting hearing what you said earlier about, you know, your first album, 26 tracks. It's almost like you emptied your brain out onto a CD and put it out there. But how did the whole process happen? How did you get there?
Well, you know, up until I was probably about, from about the age of 11 up to kind of 17, I was pretty much exclusively into hip-hop music.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I was the same, actually, all my teens.
But I wouldn't listen to any much of the stuff on the radio. I was really kind of, I like my underground kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But into, you know, the stuff that I deem quality. So, like, Eminem I love, Nas, Rakim, KRS-One.
Yeah.
A lot of the, you know, Wiley from, you know, UK, Tech N9ne from America, you know, all sorts of stuff, like all sorts of hip hop stuff. And I was really into the lyrics, really following it along as much as I could, but still being strict with what I listened to, you know, like, no, I don't like that. You know, still being really kind of picky, but the stuff I did love, I really loved. And then I started going out when I was 18, and I hated, and I still pretty much despise kind of clubby pop music. So I ended up going to Wired.
Okay.
Which I preferred the music there.
So that's a little pub we've got down in Margate, which is it closed?
Yeah.
So it used to be a bit of an alternative club we had down in Margate, which was sort of the basement of a bigger pub.
Yeah.
Where they chucked in all the alternative sort of types.
So just, you know, because that's what we listened to on the nights out and stuff. That's what I ended up getting into.
Okay.
And my mate lent me, he gave me a couple of Oasis CDs. I never looked back.
Yeah.
I still like my hip hop stuff, but, you know, and then from there spawned all sorts of bands, you know. So I'm a massive, massive Oasis fan.
Yeah, of course. Do you know, it's funny because I'm a bit older than you. And so when I was at school, it was the Stereophonics album that was massive, but I was really into hip hop back then. I forgot the name of the album now. There was a couple kissing on the front cover. It was black.
I know which one you mean. I can't think of the name either.
All the old classic songs, Barter and the Thief and stuff.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until much later when I sort of not turned my back on hip hop music. I still love that.
Yeah.
It wasn't until much later in my life and I started listening to that sort of music and I adored it. And I mean, I'll follow Stereophonics all over the country now because I just love their music and sort of. I'm a bit gutted that I kind of missed out on all my mates getting into it at the same time,
you know.
Same with Oasis as well, you know.
Yeah, I never got to see them. I've seen Noel twice. I saw him at the O2 and I saw him at Brixton Academy. And he brought out Johnny Marr from the Smiths.
Oh, yeah?
And they played together. He played on Champagne Supernova with him. Oh, and then in the encore, he brought out Paul Weller.
Really?
And I had no idea this was going to happen.
Oh, mate, and what did value for money you got there.
Yeah, so his encore, they did. He did Pretty Green. Then he did, so, you know, you had Noel playing on guitar.
Yeah.
And Paul Weller, and then they did Town Called Malice. And then Don't Look Back in Anger. It was like,
mate.
Wow, okay.
That's
and
amazing.
And that was at, you know, 4,500 capacity at Brixton.
Yeah.
And then I saw BDI, which was Liam's post-Oasis band, back in kind of 2013. And that was a really small venue. It was in Portsmouth. And it was smaller than the Winter Garden, so it was like about 1,500 capacity.
It's funny, isn't it, how these guys, they're like the biggest rock stars England's produced in a long time and playing these little venues.
Yeah, it was great.
They could definitely sell out massive venues.
Yeah, it was amazing.
That's really cool.
So I'm into them, into Oasis hugely, into all sorts of stuff. The Kinks, Small Faces, a band that I love from the 60s.
Yeah.
One of my favourite 60s band. The Verve, Blur,
the cover you did with us before, the Billy Bragg cover.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I've listened to it since, obviously.
I
know the name Billy Bragg, but I wasn't aware of any of his music, I must say, before you did that session. Gave him a good old listen after you did that, and it was a great song you did there, To Have or To Have Not.
That was written in 1983, and it is still perfect now.
Yeah,
I don't think it will ever date.
Yeah,
he's fantastic. He you know, he's like the working man's hero.
Yeah, totally.
And he's 60 years old now.
Is that right?
And I've got his latest EP,
brilliant
release, and it's still full of the same energy.
Fantastic.
And I love his voice as well. It's really rugged. It feels like a bloke you'd meet down a pub.
Yeah, definitely.
But with an opinion, you know, but not in a bad way. And I met him a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He performed at the Marlow in Canterbury. And I met him afterwards. People like him and Frank Turner got me into people like Bob Dylan, and that opened the door into a massive world of folk music for
me as well, which
I'm massively into. So lots and lots of
fantastic
different stuff.
So that's all the influences you put into your music now?
Yeah, basically. I would say so, yeah. And I'm influenced by other people that I don't like as well.
Okay.
Because they're like, I want to do something that's going to repel.
That's a good idea. Yeah, I like it. Yeah. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, you know, you're kind of influenced by everything, I suppose.
Yeah, of course you are.
In one way or another.
Well, let's talk about the influences behind this one. So the next track we're doing, What Are You Looking For?
Yeah, okay. Well, that's a much more quiet kind of acoustic track. Just four chords that roll around. And that is kind of, it's kind of a bittersweet kind of love song, I suppose. But what I was really pleased about with this one was when I wrote it, the two verses, they mirror each other. So the very last line of the first verse corresponds to the very first line of the second verse.
Okay.
Which is something you're never going to notice.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Until, well, now. Yeah, now you've said it.
So they both correspond with each other.
That's nice.
Which I was really pleased with. So, yeah, and it's just originally it had a harmonica solo in it, but that changed the keys a bit later on. Really pleased with that. It was very simple, a very simple track.
Yeah.
But it's just
when you say simple, and you've mentioned a couple of times about the chords. You know, the chords.
Yeah,
trying to keep it simple, and like, do you sit down purposely and think about how you're gonna put it together and keep it simple like that, or like, do you have a process, or do you just sort of one day like, oh, hang on, that doesn't sound great, I need to put this into a bit of music now?
Well,
at 2 a.m.
Well, yeah, sometimes at 2 a.m. is where I'll be quite creative, I suppose, which is quite annoying. And it's like, oh, is this actually going to be worth it in the morning, or should I sing? Because it might seem amazing at 2 a.m.
Yeah,
I've
right.
woken up with recorders on my phone, and I'll go, what is
really?
That?
Really?
Yeah. Or like things I've written down, going, that is just rubbish. What is this? But yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I might pick up a guitar and play a few chords. I go, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
What is that? Where's that from? And then might add some lyrics to it, or some nonsense lyrics quite often, first of all.
Oh, really, yeah?
And just get the melody.
Just see how it comes out, yeah.
And then, yeah, and then see if that chord works with that chord. Or I might, I go, oh, those two chords in that song sound good together. Let's use them.
Yeah.
Oh, let's see if there's another chord that will work afterwards.
Okay. You
know, I can use two chords from one song and then a chord on my own and play it slightly differently, and it'll sound, like a completely new song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like it.
Or, you know, I might come up with a melody and then it's like trying to put some things to it. Or a cool line. I'm like, that's a cool line.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's a great lyric. Like, where's that come from? Let's, I don't really like to go, right, I'm going to sit down and write a song now. It'll be those little nuggets of ideas that come to me. Or, when I'm kind of just sat at home watching TV.
I think that's probably the best way. It's a bit more organic, isn't it,
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I don't want to...
You hear about bands that are like big bands, and they're like, I'm going to write in retreat, and I'm going to write an album in the next 6 months, and... Like, fair enough, but like, they're obviously contractually obliged to put out an album because of their label or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't know, it just seems like not the best way to put something down, like put some art down.
Well, I might hear a line in a TV programme and go, oh, if I change that slide, that's a brilliant line. I can use that, or, see something as I'm driving about, Or I've had ideas come to me whilst I'm at the traffic lights, and it's like, oh no, I need to pull over now. I need to, this might be golden.
Yeah.
Or it might be nothing,
Fantastic.
So I've got loads of little recordings on my phone.
I bet.
Like 20 seconds of just a bit of a riff. And it's, and I'm very reluctant to completely throw away ideas.
Yeah.
So people kind of sit around and play on guitars all day, and I'm like, that's so cool. Yeah, it could probably be something,
Yeah.
But I'm kind of, I made that, that's cool. Let's try and make something out of it. If I can't, then I can't. But if I can, then, fantastic.
Yeah,
so,
definitely, yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, well, so let's give this one a listen. This is the third song we're doing today, so this is What You're Looking For.
Time we meet up, the plan goes out the window. I see you staring back at me and breaking my heart slow. I'll just keep on walking till I get back to Heathrow. And every time we meet up, we just bicker and fight. Oh, can you keep the dream alive and step in the light?
stomach started turning. Now you drank all the wine. I saw you doing this, I'm gone, cause I'm feeling fine. I say, hey, what you looking for? What you looking for? Blame it all on me. I say, what you looking for? What you looking for?
The last song, Once and Twice. So let's just talk about the album for a second.
Okay.
So the album Electric Vinyl. The name's cool. I like it. The artwork's amazing.
Yeah.
Just tell me about that for a second.
Well, the name, originally, I think I thought of that as, I was going to start a new band, and I was like, Electric Vinyl's a great name for a band.
It is, yeah. It's cool.
And then eventually, that never come together, and I was like, should I use it, or should I wait and see if a band happens? And it was like, no, do you know what? I'm
going to
use
man.
It. And I Googled it, and I can't see anything else that's been used. Just comes up with Electric Vinyl players. So
yeah,
I'm
fair.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I'll use it. And I think it fits with the idea of the album as well.
Yeah, I think so too, yeah.
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 And the artwork is a guy who I used to work with, and he plays guitar, and he's written a book as well, a short novella. And he said he'll knock up some art for me, and I was like, fantastic.
Nice.
He came up with a different idea first of all, but he couldn't quite nail it. I thought it was great, but he wasn't, you know,
right.
Too pleased with it. And then he did that, and I was like, that is fantastic.
Yeah, it's nice. So I've seen a few coming through the studios over the last year or so, and sometimes the artwork's just amazing, sometimes it's just a picture. I've also been handed CDs that haven't even had any writing on it. It's just in a bit of folded paper.
Yeah.
You know, I get all sorts through it.
But
the artwork, it stood out for sure. It stuck with me. Very, very nice.
Yeah, and then the back cover I love as well.
Yeah.
It's just, I can't show you now.
No, this is not particularly good for an audio medium. But check it out on the website, guys, or Google Squanchy Bobbins Electric Vinyl.
Yeah.
I think I've got the pictures on the post on the website.
And then on the inside booklet in the CD version, I've just decided to do a collage of everyone that helped out.
Yeah, really, nice.
Or as many people as I could remember that helped out.
Very nice.
Because I think it's important to show that it's...
Oh, yeah, definitely.
To show
that
it is a massive... I couldn't have done it on my own.
Yeah, definitely.
No way, you know. And I really wanted to... I tried to reach out to a lot of people this time around.
Nice.
Create a sense of belonging, you know. They're on, you know, in the artwork in a way.
Yeah, sure.
And
it's
kind of... They've helped out a lot, so they need to be recognised for that, I think.
No, definitely. So. I get you. All right, so let's talk about the final song then, Once and Twice.
Yeah. That's probably the heaviest track on the album. When I wrote it originally, I wrote it on an acoustic, and I was just like, it's all right. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure whether it really works. And then I went along and I played it, and there's kind of a rundown bit which I didn't write, and it wasn't in there when I first played it. And I played it like it's kind of a really kind of jaunty little folk song, really, I suppose. But then somebody who, Tom from the Marmosets that you've heard in before, he come along. This was the only rehearsal session he come along for.
Okay.
And he was like, no, I can hear something else in that. I can hear that much heavier. And then he got on the drums and was like, I'll try. And then everyone kind of pitched in. And then it became the heaviest track on the album by far, I think.
Yeah.
Now it sounds massive. So completely different to what I expected from it.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And lyrically, it's just mad. I don't know what I was on about.
Really?
I talk about Miss Piggy in there and kind of about where do you get your orange juice from and stuff.
Nice.
And
was this the part where you sort of, you make nonsense lyrics, but you forgot to replace them?
Yeah, maybe. I like nonsense songs. Sometimes I this might sound a bit weird, a bit pretentious actually, but I'm going to say it anyway. You know, life kind of, oh God, I hate myself already.
Oh God.
Life kind of, you think it's making sense.
Yeah.
And then it kind of doesn't.
Okay.
And then, so sometimes when I write, I'll try and do it so that maybe the first two lines make sense.
Okay.
And then you think you understand what this song's about, and all of a sudden the next line's nonsense.
Got ya.
And you have no idea what's going on. And
it's nice, man. I like the poetry. Nice. That's great.
Something like that. Yeah. Lyrically, it's just weird. But I'm happy with it.
Well, let's let the audience give it a go, shall we? So, standard format, guys. I'm sure you're aware by now that as we're on episode 7, and I'm sure you've listened to all the previous episodes, so we're going to come back from this straight into Squanchy Bobbins' 5-minute song challenge. So,
Perfect. For
now, let's get on it once and twice.
It doesn't matter who you are, where you've been. The only thing that matters is how much you sin. I've seen you before and I'll see you again. I'll see you in the morning with the Gunga Din. Because I've been here once, I've been here twice. Keep your mouth quiet, I don't need your advice. I said I've been here once, I've been here twice. Keep your mouth quiet, I don't need your advice. Around with my cat on your shoe. What am I kidding? You got me thinking, who the fuck is Miss Piggy? Why does she wear it? Cause I've been in once, I've been in twice. Keep your mouth quiet, I don't need your advice. I said I've been in once, I've been in twice. Keep your mouth quiet, I don't need your advice.
Alright then, ladies and gents, so here we go then. Squangy Bobbins is back with his 5 minute song challenge. So, I don't have anything to say. I don't have any knowledge of what's about to happen. So,
neither do I, really.
The floor is yours. So let's do this. Right, okay. Go for it.
Well, I'm standing here in the pouring rain and no one seems to care. It doesn't really matter though, cause I'm in my underwear. Then a man comes over and says, "What you doing?" But strangely he doesn't offer me his coat, which I find offensive. And just to make this session kind of linked together, I said to him that I like Billy Bragg, Oasis and Frank Turner, and the Smiths and Bob Dylan and the Stone Roses, and my name is Squangy Bobbins. Something like that.
Nice. I like it. Got a little bit in there of... my mic's gone funny. Got a little bit in there of everybody, I think. Everyone we spoke about today. So, and the proper pronunciation of your name as well. So it'll be on the podcast and the video. That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Squangy Bobbins. And thank you so much for listening, ladies and gentlemen. And don't forget, if you like this podcast, go and tell every single one of your friends, all of them. Go and download the podcast app on their phone and get this installed and give us some ratings on the iTunes store. And that's it. We'll catch you next week.
Thank you very much. Waking up on a new year.